opener.
We're back. I like this hook. You got a book you want to tell us about? Well, let's talk. There's no other place to do it. Only on Catch the Craze. Catch the Craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I am your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am live virtually with my co-host,
George the Dreamer.
How'd he do?
Good, man. Good. You can hear me? Because I know we had problems last month.
Yes. Problems of the world today. Yes. And I noticed I shaved. You know.
Yeah, good, man. Yeah, yeah. You did. That's right. Yeah, I did it. But I don't really grow it like that. Like, you were like.
It was crazy. I saw myself this morning. I was like, oh, I got scared. I was like, who that? I thought I was being followed. I was like, who's that? I was like, oh, that's me. It was crazy. Crazy. But I almost didn't make it today.
Why? What happened?
So I'm gutting out, I'm spring cleaning and in the basement, sitting there for 3 years with stuff that we've never opened since we moved here. So I was like, all right, it's time to clean up the basement. So I'm crushing all these boxes and I'm standing on top of a pile of boxes trying to crush them. All of a sudden, my feet flew in the air. So one of the boxes slid and I was airborne and I'm going down and my arm went into a bucket, busted my forearm, and I'm on the floor on my back. The scream that came out of me, you could have heard me in Brooklyn. My wife didn't hear Jack. So I'm like, I could be dead down here and she'd never find me. She'd probably think I'm working out or working or whatever. She's like, when are you coming out of the basement? And I'm unconscious. And I'm looking up at the sky. It's like, this is it, Lord. I said, this is it. This is my life. I could be here for hours and she wouldn't know.
This is how you go out. That's how it is.
It's crazy. Horrible. Horrible. Oh, man. My forearm is swollen. I got a lump here. It's horrible.
Wow.
Yes. Damn. Yes, but.
Listen, I'm glad you made it. Glad you made it.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can't believe we're still doing this virtually.
Virtually. We're on lockdown Pelican Bay. Ka-cling, ka-cling, ka-cling. You better die.
Still lockdown. I mean, you know, the day we're recording this, I mean, hopefully by the time this airs, things will be a little different, but as of right now, we're still, you know, locked into the house. Can't go out. Yeah. Gotta wear the masks.
Yeah. I went to my local Whole Foods, and I'm standing in line outside in the rain. And you can't get in unless you had masks on and gloves. And they're letting in three at a time. And I'm like, what the? Then I realize I'm online outside, and I don't have my cell phone. I left it in the car. And usually I use my Prime, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go back to the car to get back online. Yeah, I said, hell no.
You would have had to stay.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, so, you know, then you get in, and then when you go to pay, everyone's nervous. You know, so when you're in there, everyone's looking at space, right? You know, 6 feet. 6 feet! People walking over a ruler, 6 feet! And I'm like, chill. I was like, chill.
You know what? When you're outside, they can control the 6 foot space rule. Once you're in the store, it's up to you to control that.
Yes. Like,
you have to try to stay.
I feel
when I walk by people, I have to give them my back because you don't want to walk around, you know, with the face.
Yes.
You know, like you got to give your back. Like it's rude, but
I feel like a wide receiver. I'm like bobbing and weave. I'm dodging. I'm like, what the hell? ooh, my bad. You're making a left. Someone turning. You know, you get around that corner and someone turns. Like, oh, what do you do? What do you do?
Come around that corner.
It's like pepper spray. Watch the corners. It's crazy. I was like, what? Wait, how did we get to this point?
It is.
How did we get here?
And I know we're laughing and it's not funny, but we have to kind of just, I mean, this is the life we live right now. And it's unfortunate. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's really unfortunate. And anybody out there who's suffering from this crazy, crazy disease, like, you know, I hope that everybody can get better and soon we'll be out of this thing, you know?
You and me both. It's so crazy because then what happens is you go stir crazy too, right? And I talked to you about this through text. It's like you're going to learn a couple of things, right? So we've been conditioned as a society to be independent, right? To rely on sound bites and text messages and just quick bursts of short responses and emojis and memes, right? Now you're on lockdown with your family. So you're going to learn how to adjust into an environment that you've been conditioned to avoid, because back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, it was about family. And as we transition into technology, it was about individual, right? It's about individual performance, individual success. You know, your family's going to hold you back. You got to, go out there and do it on your own. So you either, the couples that have been working and basically seen each other at night before they go to bed and in the morning saying goodbye, they're going to either love each other again or divorce, right? The families are either going to shoot each other or get tighter. You know what I mean? You know, because you're like, now you realize that you've been, your companion's been a piece of an object that can't give you what you're looking for as a human, which is that natural emotion, right? It's that comfort.
The interaction, right.
You're not going to get there. Now you realize I've been wasting my time on this crap. And this person's sitting here, the first couple of days, you're like, oh, we get to spend time together. And you're like, ah, shit, you're still here. Oh, damn. Oh, man. They left the damn cup in the sink. Oh, man. You didn't make up your bed. Oh, man. You left hair on the bathroom. Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. You have to start going crazy, right? So you're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn
You're going to learn a lot. We did speak about that. It's going to be a lot of babies being born or a lot of divorces. A lot of different things are going to happen. Yeah. And hopefully we come out of this, better, just better people. I don't know. I feel like there was an article that I read about Hermès, you ever heard of Hermès, the brand, that really expensive brand?
Yeah.
So apparently in China or Japan, I think they have the second largest retail store.
Right.
And they made about $2.7 million in one day after the lot. Like when people were allowed to go out and shop, like apparently like they just were ready to spend that money and they made a lot of money back, like the store. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how we come out,
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, well, let's talk about the show, right?
Let's talk about the show. What, you know, what's the topic of the day, Medina?
So the topic of the day is the state of...
I really wanted, that's what I wanted.
That's okay. State of the comic book industry. So I know that if you guys have been following us, Sam has done a great job of a new segment that we are putting together throughout the week before the big show. You call it craze in less than 10, right?
The craze in less than 10.
Craze in less than 10. And I believe one of the episodes was about, the comic book industry and how a lot of comic book stores have been closing.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I've been in contact with a couple of stores, just local stores that, I just messaged on Instagram just to see how they were doing, just to get a pulse of what's going on. So, they're giving me a couple of updates and things like that. But, yeah, it looks crazy, man. It looks crazy out there.
Yeah.
And then our guest will be Robert J. Sodaro.
Yes. He's a freelance inker, editor, and computer graphics guy. He's been around the block for quite some time. He's done some stuff for just about everybody. So we're going to have him on the call. On some news, good news with regards to the industry, and we'll talk about that in a second, but I pulled up an article. You can't see it. It's on Newsarama. DC donates $250,000 to charity for comic book stores. Jim Lee is auctioning sketches.
He's been doing them every day. Yeah. If you follow him on Instagram, follow Jim Lee on Instagram, and he's gotten a bunch of other artists to come in. So basically what he'll do is he'll post an image that he did. I don't know if you follow him. Mm-hmm. Yo, these things are sick. And then he just he auctions them. And
he's a beast. Go to
he's an animal.
He's a beast. It's like, the guy, it's like his style is just crazy.
Yeah, no, he's insane. But he's made such a good living out of comic books that, it's wonderful to know that he's done this, he's done that, and now he's giving back. You know, he's not just saying, yeah, well, I'm going to do a print and, you know, send me some money for this. He's like, I don't even want the money. Whatever money's made, charity. That's amazing. And
yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, I think it's fantastic because it's a, you know, it's crazy to think that like distribution has halted until August right now, which is tentative. And then one of the things I noticed is that Alterna said, well, you know what? I'm not going to wait for you to deliver my book. So they stopped soliciting until they, Diamond decides to get back in the game, and they're doing direct ship to stores and to fans, and consumers. And I thought that was smart of them because they basically said, we're not going to, play victim to this. It's a, you know, the circumstance doesn't mean have to be ours. Right, so there's always a solution. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then it seems like it's becoming a domino effect. You're starting to see a lot of people follow suit.
Yeah.
But that might also change the game when everything goes back to normal, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're eliminating the middleman at that point, literally.
Yeah, so how much of an impact is that going to have down the road?
Yeah. Yeah, that, the thing is, you know, and I read somewhere that, well, actually, there was a New York Times article that spoke about that, too, about the just the industry as a whole. And they were saying that some of the big names, Marvel, DC, they may just start going, you know, they may start buying out these distribution, smaller distribution channels, mm-hmm. buy them out, and then just completely eliminate the middleman and go straight.
Didn't DC attempt to buy Diamond Distributors at one point?
Did they?
Yeah, I read somewhere that they were attempting to buy Diamond. Where is that? Let's see.
Some of these numbers, dude. Like when I was reading that article that I told you about on the New York Times, the numbers are staggering, bro. They were saying that the comic book industry, the in recent years, sales of comics and graphic novels in the U.S. and Canada have topped $1 billion annually. With printed comics accounting for more than a third of that figure. Can you imagine? That's a big industry, dude. That's a big industry.
Yes.
It's insane.
So if you go to, on the beat, it says, Steve Jeppy, DC no longer has the option to buy Diamond. So apparently they were in negotiations to buy it. It's that DC at one time had a clause that would allow them to buy Diamond. This goes back to the dawn. Oh, so... So they had a clause in the agreement from back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I have to read that article. But that's what caught my attention as I was researching comic book stores and the fate of the comic book stores. I ran across that. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no. There's just, you know, it's a lot of money to be made. I mean, Disney owns Marvel and AT&T owns DC Comics. So I don't think that they're going to go anywhere. I mean... That they generate too much money with these movies that they make for anything like that to happen. But, you know, it's the smaller independent artists and publishers that, you know, we have to worry about. And as far as the comic book companies, I mean, the comic book shops, I think they're in a tough position because what makes them money are the Marvel and DC titles, right? When you go into a comic book store, most people are coming in to buy, unfortunately, to buy Marvel, DC, Image, you know? And if these guys aren't being distributed through Diamond, even though us little guys can get in the doors, and because I was able to send some of my books out to a comic book shop in Dallas, and they sold them on Facebook. They have a group where every Wednesday they go up on the group and they live stream what they have at the store, and then people just put their orders in online, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
And so that kind of stuff, you know, you have to do that, those kind of things. But, you know, it's tough because these comic book shops need revenue. The revenue comes from these mainstream comics.
Yeah.
And so that's where the problems start for them. If they don't get these things, and it's a domino effect because if they don't have money, then the publisher doesn't make money, then Diamond doesn't. Like, it's just a complete domino effect that goes from right from the bottom, from us, you know, customers walking the door to buy a comic book to all the way up to the top.
Right.
So, you know, it affects everybody.
I know you spoke to a few retailers. How are they feeling the effects?
So, well, a lot of them have had to close doors. And just wanted to give a shout out. There's a comic book shop called The Spider's Web here in Yonkers.
Yeah, we did a thing there years ago. Isn't it? Remember, like 10 years ago? Wasn't it them? One of them?
No. That was the Dragon's Den.
The Dragon's Den. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They closed down. But Spider's Web is on Yonkers Avenue, and I've been in contact with the guys. They for a while were doing curbside pickup, so you could still whatever books they had left. They were allowing you to go to the store, sit outside in your car. You know, you would tell them what it is that you were picking up, and they would bring it out to the car. So that's how they were generating sales, and I believe that they're still doing that. So if you guys just go to thespidersweb.com or follow them on Instagram,
right?
Spiders Web. Then there was another comic book store called NYHC Comics. They're in Dobbs Ferry, New York, here in Westchester County. And they actually have an eBay store. Right. So you go on eBay, and they have on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. If you go on eBay, it's ebay.com/str/NYHC Comics. They have like a live stream almost, like a live auction, where you can start auctioning, you know, just buying comics off of whatever they have on their racks. They have a lot of cool, back issues and things like that. They have a lot of exclusives that they sell on their website. So that's how they've been able to stay afloat. Gotham Underground is another comic book company. I keep calling them companies. Comic book shop. Yes, they're in Ramsey, New Jersey, actually. You're not going to Woods. I don't know how far from Ramsey you are, but 147 East Main Street in Ramsey. And what they're doing is they also have an eBay store. Right. So they're selling a lot of things on eBay. So eBay looks like this is the way to go for them. Their websites, eBay, just, you know, you place orders for them, and then they fulfill those orders that way. But I think that that's how a lot of these companies are trying to survive. And then also, like I said, even on Facebook, there are a lot of Facebook groups that support, you know, comic book shops, right, to kind of get on there. They have their live stream videos, and they're literally showing you the book. This is what this book, and line, like they she'll put them up on the rack, and line, take this one out. Okay, this book is about blah, blah, and it's written by this person, and it's this. And they did that for every single independent publisher that sent them comics. And people were just online, dude. It was like, I'll take two of those. I'll take one of those. I'll take, how much is that one? And it's really cool. It's really cool to watch it live. And this lady, she just sits there, dude. All the patients in the world, man, she's just doing this. It's for her store, though. That's how she's going to make the money she needs to make to keep those doors open. Even though nobody can come in, she's in there with all these books, and she's right, just selling them like that. So
that's pretty hot.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool. What I'll do is I'll send you the link, and then we can post the links on the YouTube channel, so that if you guys want to join the groups and support your local comic book shop.
Yeah.
They're the live stream, man. They're the live stream of the whole industry. Without that, it's, you know, digital comics are cool, but I think people still want to hold that book in their hands.
I prefer to hold it. I mean, I just ordered a couple of, well, I'm big right now into the art of books. And I just ordered a couple new art of. I went and got the art of Hanna-Barbera.
Oh yeah, oh, love it.
Yes,
love that.
Yes. I'm waiting for it to come. It's not going to be here for another week. Yeah, because now distribution is slow. Like everything's like moving slow. So I got that, and what was the other one I ordered? But off to my right, I have tons of the art of books. And but no, I think we need to support, and not forget, you know, where it comes from. I prefer to have physical books, you know. I try to do ebooks. I'm not big on it. I like audiobooks, you know, because I sleep with audiobooks. So I listen to like a lot of sci-fi, fantasy, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars audiobooks when I go to sleep. But nothing can compare to actually having a physical book that you can put away and go back to. Like, I have, it's on the other bookshelf, but I have Infinity Gauntlet that I go to every year, and I open it up. And I have Infinite Crisis, and I have all these books that I go to at least once a year, because, yeah. And, you know, it's a good read, you know, and yeah. Kingdom Come, you know, from DC, you know, there are specific titles that I have that I will always go Invincible, you know, by Robert Kirkman. You know, I have all the trades, you know, so, and for me, it when you have that nostalgic feeling, oh, I want to go back and read that again. You know, it's been a minute. I forgot what that was about.
You know, it's when I, like, if you, and again, digital comics, they're great, you know, and that's another way to get your comics. And then maybe that's just, I don't know if that's maybe a generational thing.
Yeah.
But I find that when I'm reading a book on my phone, number one, the screen is too small.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like. And number two, it's I can swipe out of it and go to something else.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm no longer just sitting there with my book, reading my book and in my story. Yeah. I'm actually now I'm like, all right, oh shit, I forgot to do this or make a payment online. Boom. Swipe up, get it out of the way and do whatever I gotta do or Google something, whatever. Something else can come up and now you're doing something else on your phone rather than reading the comic book you were reading. Now,
yeah,
I don't know if that says something about the story you're reading. Maybe it's just not captured, but still, I just feel like I think that when you have that book in your hand, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Yes. You know, it's
a whole different ballgame.
It's a whole different ballgame. You know, but for the sake of, I'm going to go to commercial now. And oh, just in case, he's going to come back and it's a new commercial.
Ooh, it's promoted. I can't see it.
You can't see it, but you can hear it. So we're going to go to commercial, and when we come back, we should be getting a call from our next guest. Hold on. All right, welcome to The Craze in 10 or Less. I am... Welcome to The Craze in 10 or Less.
That's welcome to The Craze in 10 or Less.
That's 10 minutes or under. This is not going according to plan. What the heck is going on? Oh, hell no. Yeah, so that's a little snippet promoting The Craze in 10 or Less, which is our new segment, which gives you the latest and greatest in 10 minutes or under. And just to keep the content flowing, because we know everyone's at home looking for content, and we just want to make sure that we keep Cast the Craze in the front of your mind. I do want to say thank you to all of the recent new followers on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Thank you. We appreciate your support. We're trying to grow the YouTube business. Every other channel is growing faster than the YouTube channel. So I know a lot of people watch it, but not enough subscribe. So that'd be great if you show some support and love. If you're listening to this, on iHeartRadio or Spotify or Pandora, go to the YouTube, check out Cast the Craze, subscribe. It's even better when you get to see the crew. But that's my little snippet.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it.
You couldn't hear it?
Nope. Oh. I didn't hear anything.
Sucks to be you. That sucks.
It sucks to me.
Yeah, so I got to figure out. I haven't gotten that far yet because we just started doing this virtual thing, and it's been a lot of work just figuring this part out. But I have to figure out how to be able to share my screen with you so that you can see it from your end through FaceTime. We haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah.
We'll get there one day.
We'll get there.
Yes.
We'll get there. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, so Robert Sodaro, man, we met him a few years back doing
Apple.
All these shows that we used to do.
Big Apple. Because it was Big Apple.
That's what it was, right? We met him at the Big Apple.
And he was part of CAG.
Yes. CAG, man. Jeez. Love those guys from CAG. I miss Hector, and Hector's got a nice piece of thank you for the Wonder Duck piece you did.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was money. And I was saying Hector Rodriguez also did a rendition
inspired me.
Daphne Lage.
Yes. Yeah. When Hector did that piece, I was like, you know what? I need to. And I was sitting here, and for some reason, I wasn't in the mood to draw something that one of my products. And then I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw his piece. I was like, you know what? I have to, you know, hook George up. And I was like, all right, let's go. Let's play. And and then I decided to do it. And then I was like, you know, let me color it. And then I. My scanner doesn't work anymore, so I had to take a photo of it adjust the light. Yeah, so I had to take a photo of it, bring it into my computer, and then adjust the lighting, and then start coloring.
Yeah, no, it came out really, really nice. What, you colored it in Photoshop, or?
I colored it in Infinity.
Okay.
Yes, because Photoshop is it's a racket, and I'm tired of every time Apple goes and upgrades the OS, you can't use any software, so then you have to go and buy the newest one, or, well, here it is. All right, we're back after a minute of technical difficulties, and on the line we have Robert Sodaro, who's a freelance writer, editor, and computer graphics production artist. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's
good
up,
to be
Rob?
Here, at least in audio.
Yes, well, we have your picture on the screen, and some of the stuff that you've done on the screen as well.
Cool.
So,
This will be broadcast, put online later on. I can link to it.
Yeah. Like I told you, this is pre-recorded, and it'll be in. We're actually recording our May shows.
Sweet.
So what's up? What you've been doing lately?
Man, apparently I am I'm an essential employee. I have like a regular job. Bella, down. Dog's trying to get to the cat's food. I have a regular job. I work at a retail liquor store. And apparently liquor sales are up something like 700%. Because if I'm going to be trapped inside with my family, I'm going to have to be drinking.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah. So... But meanwhile, I'm also doing. I'm also still writing. I just did a. I'm doing some graphic work. I did. I just worked on two magazines today for Maine Enterprises, and I wrote a short piece for Joe Martino's Cyberine.
Yeah, I was just looking at that, Rob. That's Comixology, right?
Yeah. We're going to be putting some more of Joe's stuff up. I'm taking a bunch of his. His print comics. I have PDFs of basically everything that Joe has published, and I'm converting it all to PDFs and putting it all up. And we're going to be putting it all up on Comixology. Comixology, yeah.
So that's awesome, man.
It'll all be downloadable soon.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, Robert, for people who don't know, tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, obviously, you've been in the industry for many, many years, and you've done a lot of things in the industry. Just tell our audiences, you know, who Robert Sodaro is.
All right. Well, I graduated college sometime back in the pre-dawn era of there was no internet. I went to it. My first job was I have a media studies degree. We learned film and print and video, and I got a job working on a radio station. I bounced around to a couple of different radio stations. I wound up in print finally, and my first published work was in Amazing Heroes number 5, back in 1981, and I wrote a piece about Steve Ditko's Spider-Man. And from there, I basically, if you read any of the comic book fanzines that were published in the middle 80s to the middle 90s, you read something I wrote, because I literally worked for everybody from Amazing Heroes to Wizard and everybody in between. There was maybe one or two fanzines that I didn't write for. One of them was Comic Scene, oddly enough. But I wrote for pretty much everybody else. I did a lot of, journalist work, following all the different creators. I interviewed everybody from Stan to I actually interviewed Jack Kirby one time. It was an interview that I'm not sure ever got published, and I have it here somewhere. And John Byrne, pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, most of the Image guys, I did. And in the mid 1980s, I did a comic book called Agent Unknown for Denny LoBert's Defiant? Was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Renegade Press. Sorry. And then I did, back in the early 2000s, I started writing for a number of other small press comics, CGR, Jim Maine's Maine Enterprises, Red Anvil, a bunch of other people. And I'm still writing. I write Cyberines for Red Anvil. I'm doing a bunch of independent work, a lot of different anthology projects for independents. I have some of my prose writing out there. I'm tearing it off a little bit. I have to say I'm surprised. I looked over my output for the last year, and I'm impressed with the amount of work that I've managed to get out over the time.
You've had a very long career in comics, Rob. I mean, you've seen the industry go from, you know, like you mentioned, from the early 80s until now. How do you feel about the industry as far as where it is right now in comparison?
I got to tell you, interesting. Actually, I started reading comic books in the 1960s. I started reading comic books. I remember reading comics prior to 1961 or 1962 when Spider-Man came out. I remember I actually owned a copy of Amazing Fantasy 15 for a number of years. And I did it's very interesting. I stopped reading for reasons that no longer matter. I stopped reading comic books in like 95. I had gone 96, I think it was actually. I had gone to the 95 San Diego Con and was out there and came back and the market crashed. And I basically walked away from the field and I didn't come back until 2001. And when I did come back, I had to relearn how to read comic books because the presentation of the way they were had so radically changed. It took me a while to catch up with what was going on in the industry. The Marvel Ultimate Universe was in full bloom at the time. Okay. And everything was very odd. One of the things that was difficult for me at the time was everything, especially in the Ultimate Universe, everything seemed to be one color. It was blue, shades of blue, as opposed to the four brightly colored colors that I was used to. Everything was just kind of a shade of something else. And but I got used to it again. I got back into comics. I got back into creating comics, which was a lot of fun. And I'm going to say it saved my life. I was dull and boring and not having a good time. And getting back into comic books really revitalized me. And I'm having a time of my life now. I got back in, and comics are very different these days. I'm reading a lot more online comics, a lot more digital comics. I still prefer the print comics, but you know, and the thing about it now is more so than ever before. As much as I still enjoy the big blockbuster, the corporate comics, Marvel comics and some other, I really, really like more so than ever before independent comics, because these are the comic books that my friends are creating. And right. The last time I didn't go to New York Comic Con last year, but I went the year before and I bought not one single corporate comic. I spent a lot of money and I bought a bunch of comics off my friends because I don't know what's going to happen. It's not guaranteed. They seem more exciting to me. And it's a lot of fun reading comic books. I'm reading a lot of indie books these days and I'm enjoying it more than ever before.
You know, I feel like when indie comics, you know, started coming out and everybody had an independent comic book back then, we had the stigma of these guys are going to come out with one issue, but they'll never come out with a second issue. And I feel like we're moving away from that. I feel like a lot of independent creators now follow through. Now we're finishing the stories that we start. Do you feel that that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I remember it was I'm trying to remember. It was the late 80s, the early 90s. We had Image. We had Majestic. We had Malibu. We had Dark Horse had a line of comics. We had there was all these all these universes came out, and a lot of comic companies tried to come out with a big line, big splashy line of comics. Oh, we can come out with we're going to come out with 10 comics. We're gonna, no, don't come out with 10 comics. Come out with one comic. Come out with one comic. Do one comic really, really well. And then a year from now, spin a second comic off, and maybe then bring a third comic in. But don't, we're not going to be big interconnected universes anymore, which is really cool, by the way, when those interconnected universes came out. And I really got into a lot of those, the interconnected universe comics that were out there. And I really enjoyed that. I'm still stuck in superhero comic books, but you know, we can still do other comic books. I've done some humor books. I've done some horror books. I've done some superheroes, and I've done some real life adventures. I did when I did some books for Pronto Comics, and one of the books I did for them was called First in Flight: The Story of Gustav Whitehead. Gustav Whitehead was a real life person who lived in my hometown of Fairfield, Connecticut, and flew 2 years before the Wright brothers did.
Wow.
And the Wright brothers actually met him and bought a couple of engines off of him. I recently met with, and right before the coronavirus shutdown happened, I met with a museum in Fairfield, and they were very excited to see my comic book. They actually have a comic book that they sell in their gift shop about George Washington's spy network. And if you saw the TV show Turn, you'll know a little bit about the real life spy network that George Washington had for his Continental Army. And some of these people operated in and around the Fairfield County area. But so they did that. They were very interested in my comic, and they want to sell my comic, the Gustav Whitehead's book, in their gift shop. I gave them a donation of one for their library, and as soon as the shutdown's over and the library open and the museum opens up again, they're going to I'm going to drop off a pile of books for them so that they can sell the comic in their gift shop, which would be very cool.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now you say you write many different genres of comic books. Which one's your favorite?
Well, again, I really like the superhero stuff, but the first comic I did was, like I said, it was called Agents Unknown, and it was kind of my inception of what S.H.I.E.L.D. was or could be. I thought about this, and as much as I like spy stuff, I Spy, which is on TV, I always loved the James Bond stuff, the In Like Flint, and the Matt Helm series and stuff. Always loved all the spy genre. And so I created this spy network, this espionage team, and I felt that instead of having one spy, one James Bond who could do everything, what they really needed was a bunch of agents to do a bunch of different things that operated across a time frame. And I did that, and I had a bunch of different characters that I created, and I did sort of an episodic adventures of these characters. And I got 3 issues out, and then the market imploded, and Renegade Press basically stopped publishing, and my book bit the dust as well. But I saw these characters in my head. I've written two stories that got published afterwards with characters that are part of that universe. So the spy stuff really still fascinates me. You know, they're on some level real life heroes. And they do really cool stuff, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm mixing in a little bit of, very slowly, it's my intention to mix in some superheroes that is part of this. And I'm trying to actually build a universe around these characters.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I know that you had mentioned at the beginning that you're working on a few books. One of them was Cyberines. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Cyberines, that's Joe Martino's characters and his project. He has Joe Martino was a co-publisher of Red Anvil Press. He and Dave Ryan I've teamed up a number of years back. It's interesting. I met both of these guys individually and separate from each other, and each of them invited me to help them as an editor on their separate books, and then they joined together and one team. And I, so now I'm the editor for the Red Anvil line of comics. I'm writing two comics for them. One is Cyberines, the other one is Owl Girls. Owl Girls is a Dave Ryan project, and Cyberines is a Joe Martino project. Cyberines is, Joe is a big fan of comics from the 80s, and I really like that era. That was a fun era too. So his Cyberines are, they're Marines. They're basically, Cyberine is his version of Captain America, if you will. And he's gathered around him a team of paranormals who are, they're run by the military. And so there's these characters, and he basically turned it over to me and he said, write this for me. And I went, okay. So I did. And he had two issues of material that he put together. But he had me write the issue one and issue four, and he stuck his two issues in the middle. And then I wrote five, and I think I wrote six. But those have yet to see print at the moment. But they will end up in the digital version. And they'll probably have a print version as well.
Gotcha. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like to work what it's like to write somebody else's story? Because I write my stories and I write my scripts and, you know, I send them out to an artist. What is it like collaborating with somebody else to kind of write or edit some of their work? What's that like?
Well, that's actually really interesting, and it's kind of cool. I have the fortune to write with people who are they're creatives themselves, so they turn their characters over to me and they trust me to write. Well, with Cyberines, Joe gave me the framework, and I knew who the characters were, and I knew who they were and what they were supposed to be doing and what their powers and how they were. And then I wrote a story, and then Joe tweaked it to fit, you know, his model a little bit of what was going on, you know, change things that I'd misunderstood or fine tune stuff that he wanted done. And, so he was very happy to let me do it. I mean, he already allowed me to edit his stuff on a couple of his other books that he did. And that was kind of cool. And I'm working with another guy, T.C. Ford. He has United Comics. He's I've known T.C. for about 40 years. And he was the last editor-in-chief of Charlton Comics right before they shuttered the doors. And he's running a bunch of conventions, or he was before the shutdown. He's running a bunch of conventions, and we've known each other, we met each other about 40 years ago, and then we kind of drifted apart a little bit, and I would keep running into him. And lately, over the last couple of years, we kept running into each other again, and he's been, you know, he brought me around to a bunch of shows, and he said that there was this one show, Brass City Convention, which is done up here in I want to say Waterbury, in Connecticut. And he said, and I made a comment to him. I said, you know what we should do? We should do really cool if we put together a comic book that we gave away at the show or something to that effect. And he went, oh, here's a great idea. Here's a character of mine. Write this story. And I went, oh, okay. So I wrote a story based on his idea of a character. And but I wrote a 22-page script, and he said, that's great, but there's no way I'm going to get this 22-page script done in time, so write an 8-page story, which will be the giveaway comic, and then we'll do the longer story as the follow-up. And I went, oh, okay, I could do that. So I wrote a shorter story that had a different focus, and so the original story I wrote still stands, but the shorter story is kind of a prequel to the longer story. And again, he was very happy with what I wrote. We made a couple of changes, and he's listing me as co-creator on the book with the character, which is very cool.
That is cool, man. That's very cool, actually.
Right. He's actually, TC, it wants to build a team, basically, and kind of an Avengers team, but like on a smaller level. Not, they're not world fighters. They're, you know, they're more regional, and it's a completely diversified cast. So, you know, it's all these different characters he has in his head. I don't know all of the characters that he has, but it's interesting. And so in some level, I'm writing, the two books I'm writing have African-American leads, which is interesting for me to write because, well, I'm not.
I got you. So, I mean, but, that sounds challenging. How do you do to prepare to write something like that?
I write what I'm writing to what I think. Listen, in the 19, where was it? It was, I guess it was the late 90s, early. No, it was when I came back to comics in the 2000s. One of my favorite comics was Spider Girl, and it was written by Tom DeFalco, who was, I don't know, in his 70s at the time, writing the story of a 15-year-old girl. And I met him at an event at a museum in New York, and it was a book party for Danny Singer. Danny had written the book Superman the Couch, and Danny and Tom DeFalco showed up, and I got a chance to talk to Tom, and I said, "Look, Tom, you don't remember me, but I worked for Marvel when you were the editor in chief, but and you don't remember who I am, and that's okay, but I want to tell you that Spider-Girl is absolutely my favorite comic that I'm reading right now, because it reminds me of when I was 15 years old and reading Stan's Spider-Man. And I think the reason why it's so good and so interesting and refreshing for me to read is because there's literally no value to the comic. And he looked at me like he was going to strangle me right about then. And I said, but he, thankfully he didn't. And he allowed me to explain that Spider-Girl isn't the lead character of the main universe of Marvel Comics. It's this offshoot, otherworldly other character that's kind of based on the main character. And basically, it's when Tom was writing Spider-Man, he had Mary Jane get pregnant, and then there was a whole thing about the mix-up of the baby, and the baby got lost, and the baby was. This was taking from the moment that what if the baby was born and was born into the spider into the Marvel universe, and then he built this whole universe around what if the universe the Marvel universe had been allowed to grow at a rational, reasonable rate, and Peter Parker was now retired as Spider-Man, and his daughter was 15, and she had taken over as Spider-Man, and all the and we had a whole generation, second generation of Marvel characters who were part of this universe, and I said, "You're not the thing about the universe was it didn't have it. There was no marketing behind it. There was no you can't kill Spider-Man. You can't change Spider-Man or Iron Man or some of these characters. You can change them, but you have to change them back because there's all this marketing material that goes with them, and they're tagged to it. So since there was none tagged to Spider-Girl, really, and the company wasn't based on what happened to Spider-Girl. He could literally do anything he wanted, and every episode was, wow, what's going to happen now? And that made it very, very cool.
Right.
You know, so if Tom DeFalco in his 70s can write a very believable, very entertaining 15-year-old girl, yeah, maybe I can stretch a little bit and figure out how to write stuff. A black 15-year-old girl myself.
There you go. You know? Did you ever ask him like how did he research?
Hold on, I can't hear you. Say it again. Can you speak up?
Did you ever ask him? Hello.
How he did it?
No, yeah. Did you ever ask him? Yeah, how he did it? How he managed to write this story about a 15-year-old girl as a 70-year-old man?
I think he had. Well, I think he had a daughter, and I think maybe he had a granddaughter, and he you know what? He's really a talented writer. And you write what you think, and you got to be able to, you know, they say write what you know. You know what? I don't know anything about being a superhero, but I know about what Stan taught me about a superhero. And I know what I like, and I know what I want to write, and I know what entertains me. Hey, I'm writing a story. My character's wolf girls. They're two preteen girls who are werewolves, right, and they stalk pedophiles. You know, if I was going to be and I'm trying to write a story that I kind of know a little bit about. I'm projecting, sure, and I may get some stuff wrong, but. Right. You know, this is what I know and what I can do. Hey, I actually just submitted a story about a black vampire to an anthology. We'll have to see if that's how that turns out.
There you go. Wow, man. So yeah, you're busy, Robert. You stay busy. You write. You keep writing, and I love that. So what's actually coming out where that people can actually buy some of your stuff or get some of your stuff? Where can they go?
Well, I'm in the process now of I have a website, kind of a portfolio website that's up there now, and I decided that since I now have enough product that that I've created, I'm going to build a new website where I can actually sell my books, because right now I'm writing for like five or six different publishers, yeah. And so my work is scattered around. On a bunch of different places. And part of it is I'm writing for anthologies. And I always kind of feel bad saying to someone when they come up to me at my table at a show, they go, oh, I want to buy something you wrote. Well, here's, I have an 8-page story in this comic that cost $5. Right, so, right. And I felt bad about that. So what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to gather together some of the previous material I've written and, right. Republish it under my own banner, and I'm going to be doing some Kickstarters later this year, and put my stuff together. Specifically, the Owl Girls. I'm sorry, not the Owl Girls. The Wolf Girls. I'm putting them together. I'm gathering together my Agent Unknown stuff, which has been largely out of print for say 25 years, and republish that. Along with the two new stories that I've written in the meantime, and I'm going to try and see if I can get some of my stuff out. You know, now I have a website. It's kind of a blog site. I don't really promote my stuff a lot there, but I have done it. That's called freelanceinkink.blogspot.com.
Okay.
I am on Twitter as funnybook_city. I am on, I have a Pinterest site, Robert J. Sodaro, Sodaro. And I'm on Instagram. Let's see, what's my Instagram? Instagram is instagram.com/RobertSodaro.
Okay, and then you're also obviously on Facebook as well, right?
And I'm on Facebook. I'm all over the place. I'm trying to. I decided when I first got online, I was going to build a, be very visible. I think I've done that. A lot of my stuff is just my Facebook page is at the moment very political, and I'm not making any apology about that. We're at a very political time. Yeah. One of the things growing up, they said, don't two conversations you never want to have. You don't want to talk politics and religion. And yeah. I think that's a problem because we were taught not to talk about politics and religion. We don't know how to talk about politics and religion. And that's why people get so crazy talking about politics and religion. My religion is right. My God is the right God. Your God isn't really God. My politics are more important than your politics, and you should die. And no, I get that people have different political opinions and different religious opinions. I have two children, and they were raised as Jews. My daughter is now living in Israel with her American husband that she met while she was in Israel. My son is... he's living in D.C. working for a congressman. And I think I have a couple of really great kids. I thought I was a pretty decent dad, and they seem to think so too.
There you go. There you go.
Robert. And they don't always agree. And they, I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead. They don't always agree with what?
They don't always agree with what I have to say, and I don't necessarily agree with what they have to say, but they're my kids, and I love them, and I think I'm very, very impressed with them, partially because they're my kids, but mostly because when I was their age, I was nowhere near as together and organized as they are right now.
Sweet, man. Hey, I'm gonna ask you one final question, Rob. For any sure. young writer who is out there who's trying to get work the way you've been in this industry for that long, what are some of the tips that you may have for like a young writer who wants to, you know, either freelance work and things like that? What would you say to that young man or young woman?
Well, everything is different now. When I was getting into this, there were magazines that were about comics. So I went to the magazines and I started writing about comics, which gave me a lot of contact with the creators. And I got in with a bunch of these people and I met them and I went to shows and it was very cool. And I was getting published, I was getting paid, you know, at the beginning I was getting paid like a penny a word, and then I was getting paid a dollar a word, and then I was getting paid, you know, by the length of the article. But nowadays with all the websites that are out there, no one actually is getting paid. You're getting paid by the hit. So maybe you're getting paid a penny per 100 hits. So if you are getting paid, you're getting paid very, very little. And that's very, very discouraging. I think this is the only industry in the world where you can say to someone, hey, draw for me, write for me, edit for me, publish for me, do this for me. And eventually, if we make money, we'll see if we can split some. If I opened up a deli and said, hey, come and work the register for me while I start selling stuff, and if a year from now I start making money, maybe I'll think about paying you. You'd laugh right. at me, and it's a crying shame that this is the way it works. But right. look, right now we're all housebound. There's no entertainment out there. There's nothing we can do. We can watch TV, but here's what we have: we have TV, we have the internet, we have comic books, we have regular books, and all we have are the arts and the arts that have been published. And you know, we talk about job creators. You know who's a job creator? Not your employer. You're the job creator. And I know this, I'm not answering your question, and I'll get to there in a second. But you're the job creator because you're the one going out and buying stuff. And when you buy stuff, the person you buy from has to have people working for him to sell to you. So the more people have, the more money that you have in your pocket, the more stuff you're going to buy, the more time, the more places you're going to go to buy it, and the more that the places you go have to have employees that they're paying, so that they can actually service you, so that they can, and then they can buy stuff. And it's the arts that are going to keep us from going crazy. The arts are the things that are saving us right now. All I'm doing is I'm watching movies and I'm reading. So again, you want to know how to write? Learn how to read. Learn how to read. You want to write for a publication. You want to write for an outdoor magazine. Read outdoor magazines. Go outdoor camping. Go learn how these things work. You want to write for comic books? Read comic books. You want to write for Marvel? Read how Marvel puts comic books together. Read how DC puts comic books together. They don't do it the same way. Image doesn't do it the same way. You want to gather together people who are as talented as you. You want to start working on something together. You want to work with people who are talented, and a lot of it is, it's not so much even the talented, it's the dedication to it. Because you could have the most talented guy in the world, but if no one wants to work with him, if this artist can't find someone to write the story that he's going to illustrate, if the writer can't find an artist who's going to illustrate the story he's going to write, then you're not going to have it. I keep going back to, we idolize Stan and Jack. Stan and Jack are amazing talents. Most of what Stan wrote after Jack left has little, if any, real lasting value. The stuff that Jack did after he left Marvel, doesn't have the same impact as the stuff that he did when he was at Marvel. I mean, with the Fourth World stuff possibly being excluded, although the Fourth World stuff is just background at this point in the DC universe. It's not the main characters, whereas the characters he co-created at Marvel are still out there. So you need good collaborators. You need good people who you need to be able to recognize a good story. You need to be able to write and illustrate a good story. You need to be able to finish the thing you started. And that's, and sometimes it's just the dedication of, I am not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing this. Hell, I've been reading comic books since 1961. I've been writing in the comic book field professionally since 1981.
Yeah.
I haven't stopped. There are three people who have been who started as journalists in the 1980s. Myself, Peter Sanderson and Heidi McDonald. The three of us started writing about comic books as journalists at the same time. Now, Peter Sanderson is, he's still commenting on Facebook and he's still doing stuff. Heidi still has her column, Hey Kids Comics, and I'm still doing stuff for a bunch of different places. But most of the other people who started, you know, there are people who were around at that time who are still around, but they switched from writing about comics as being journalists to writing comic books or writing other things. You know, Jerry Conway, he was the head writer on Law and Order for decades, for over a decade. You know, some of these other people have gone into movies, they've gone into film, they've gone into TV. There's a lot of people who've moved on to other areas, but they started in comic books. And I'm of the opinion that comic books is the engine that moves pop culture right now. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, look at all the shows. I mean, all the shows that are not so much about comic books. Big Bang Theory. That they're not about comics. They're about four scientists. There's a comic book undertone to all of that.
Yeah.
You know, there's comic books in a lot of different media. It's really wild that they have all this stuff. And you know, we drive the clothing industry. We drive the video games. We drive, you know, skateboarding. We drive, you know, toys and games and action figures and books and stuff. Well, I mean, a lot of it starts in comic books, or it's inspired by comic books.
Absolutely.
I think it's a very cool field. I'm never leaving it.
The big blockbuster movies. I mean, think about all of that, you know?
Yeah. Right now, actually, I was writing, I just bought a set of the 24 character toys that McDonald's made at the end for Avengers Endgame. I just got a complete set of it, and I'm setting them up and looking at them and looking at these pretty cool toys. I said, you know what? I haven't seen Avengers Endgame in a while. Let me watch it again. And I have Disney Plus, so I'm watching Avengers Endgame right now. Well, I was before the phone call.
Thank you so much for your time, buddy. We'll let you get back to watching your movie.
Okay, that's fine. I'm happy to talk to you. Call me back anytime. We'll do it again. Absolutely. We can talk about something. We can talk about different stuff. And by all means, let me know when this is up, and I'll link to it on all my social media.
Absolutely. And Robert, listen, just give us updates on what you have stuff coming out. I mean, I'm on Instagram. I'll hit you up with a follow, and then just give me updates. That way, we can always update the audience to see what you're doing and your websites and things of that nature. All right.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, buddy. Fun talking to you guys.
Robert. Have a good one, bud.
All right, man. You too, man.
Thank you.
All righty then. So we had some technical difficulties. You probably won't see it because I'll edit it out. We're trying to get Robert on FaceTime, a double screen. It didn't work for some reason. Don't know why. But that was a good show.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, listen, he's a fountain of information. I mean, I'm sure that he could have told us stories about way back, you know, like there's just so many things that he, you know, he's met Tom DeFalco, Stan Lee. I mean, he's worked with all the legends in the field. Yeah. And glad he came on. I'm glad he was able to talk to us and discuss some of the things he's doing currently.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other book that I was talking about that I bought, and I don't know why I forgot, was the Art of Todd McFarlane, The Devil's in the Details. You know, because I'm a big, you know, McFarlane style of art fan. So I finally ordered that book as well. I'm waiting for that one to come in the mail as well.
There you go.
Yeah, so... And the last, anything you want to go out with?
Oh, yeah, no. Everybody just stay safe. I know that. Everybody stay safe. And check out the show every Friday. We come on, join us, subscribe to the channel, go to the websites, icreatestories.com, medinawhip.com. Go to our Instagram pages, follow us, give us a follow. I like to kind of just give updates on some of the guests that we have on the show, so you'll have some of that. And just stay safe. You too, man. Stay safe out there.
You too, and everyone out there, you know, people we don't see. You know, it's funny. I sent out to a lot of people I know the theme song to Cheers.
Yeah.
You know, breaking away from the world, the day takes everything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. It resonated with me. It's like,
yeah,
you can't go and do the things you used to do. You know, yeah. It's you can't.
You take that for granted.
Yeah, you take it for granted. It's this isolation stuff is crazy. But so I do wish everybody a lot of health, safety, prosperity. Be kind. There's so much violence. I'm seeing stupid things on the web, and I change and I move on. Don't take advantage because of the situation. You know, this is your opportunity to start over, to change your face, to do something good for someone else. You know, show some compassion, what we were meant to do on this planet. But, you know, that's another segment of Catch the Craze. I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
And I'm George. George, the dreamer, the Dina.
Yo, by the way, I'm leaving you with this. My hair is growing so long, I can't go get it cut. I'm going to look like Cousin It by the time... But like Morticia, by the time we go back to work, I mean, I haven't rolled up in a man bun, but it is crazy. It's down to here, bro. It's crazy. If I, you know, it's horrible. But I'm saying,
do a show without the cat, just let it roll.
I know, right? One day I'm just going poof. I'm Sam. That's George. Thank you guys for watching. It's just easy. It's not.
Crazy,
I'm so crazy.
You so crazy.
Acquiesce. No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him. Say my name, say my name. Crazy. Right?
This is what you were thinking?
Yes.
Oh,
you described me. He said, I'm the.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze on It's the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Candy Girl.